All right, let's get started this morning. Brian, if you'll get for me 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. Brian Mitchell, if you get Acts 6 and verse 3. Erubiel, if you'll get Psalms 133, verses 1 and 2. And that'll be all. Okay, so I've done a number of lessons on concert ministry, thinking about our concerts, and we looked at how to run a concert. We've looked at the rationale behind this ministry. Then we've looked at those involved and the choices that we make about ministry. So today we need to understand some of the elements of a successful concert ministry, and this requires a couple things, right? Is committed people, but also specific prayer. And so in the text, our main text we're going to read, Peter encourages the church to use their gift, or some people have gifts that God has given, to serve their congregation for the greater good, for kingdom work. So let's read 1 Peter 4 and verse 10.
Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms.
Okay, your gift to serve others. So let's think about this, the heart of ministry. The word ministry carries the idea of a spiritual work, but it also, its most basic meaning means service, to serve. In Acts chapter 6, we all are familiar, no doubt, with the story of the Hellenists. They were being neglected in the distribution of bread. They're bringing this issue to the 12, and the 12 say, it's not right that we're pulled from ministering to people to serve people. In other words, this wasn't something that, it was a little issue to them, or they shouldn't be bothered by it, but more, it's a distraction from their main focus, which is to minister through preaching, through teaching. And so here, they want to appoint people to serve, or someone who we can appoint to this ministry. And so 7 men were chosen to the ministry of tables, or serving in an area, meeting a need in a specific area of the church. So this is the essence of ministry, right? That's just giving us an idea. It's to serve people. When we see a need, we meet that need, right? You often hear people, hey, someone should. You're seeing it. Maybe you're that someone, right? Is when you see it, you're going to serve and fulfill that. And so filling a ministry, to give yourself to that, is a matter of the heart. Let's read Acts 6 and verse 3.
Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business.
Okay, so here, think about this task again. They're handing out bread. Who is going to do this? And they give some stipulations. We probably need 7 men for whatever reason. That's probably just the amount of distribution they're dealing with. 7 men who have a good reputation, right? So this is their ministry. They need a good reputation, a good testimony. Men of character, men who are filled with the Holy Ghost, men who can work well with others, men who are full of wisdom, or can problem solve, right? Think things through, work it out, figure it out. So all of this is coming from within the congregation to serve a need that's in the congregation, right? So you notice all of our ministry, and this is very foreign to a lot of bigger churches, all of our ministry comes from within. We're not looking from without. We don't put an ad and looking for a musician or looking for a pastor or whatever the case is. We develop and cultivate from within. We draw from within because that's what we see in our scripture, right? Who can we appoint to this people already active in their congregation that can meet this need. But bigger, and what applies to us, is the heart issue. We want to have people that are going to have a heart for their ministry. Okay, so part of that is the character of the person, but also in that character, they recognize these are going to be men that are dependable. These are men that are going to get the job done. These are men that are going to see the value of what they're doing, what they're part of. And so here, right, last time I did a study on this, we looked at all the wrong reasons people join ministry, or the wrong reasons people choose for ministry. But here, we're looking at the heart. I desire to be used. I see this as a privilege, and I'm going to give it my best. That's a heart issue. I remember years ago, our band, we debuted in Prescott, and it was myself, the bassist and the drummer. We all grew up in Prescott. This was familiar to us. We grew up going to the concerts, so now here we are, in a band. But my wife and my brother-in-law, Pastor Tim, they didn't grow up in Prescott. I remember we're there at the Underground, man. It's about to start. We're the opening band. It's our first night. And Tim looks over at Beth and goes, "We're playing in Prescott. Can you believe this?" And Beth's like, I can't even process this right now. To me, I'm like, your deal. Like, right? Those are heart issues. Those are two different hearts, two different perspectives about ministry. And so we must recognize our concert ministry is not just some other program, right? And I hope that that's been communicated in all of these lessons. These carry a spirit. Our concerts. Pastor Greg has often told the concert directors, this is a microcosm of pioneering. You're working things through. You're contending for a supernatural atmosphere for God to be at work. And so this is why the heart is so important. So there's some things that we need first in us. Right? All of our series on relational health, what am I focusing on? What's in you? What's in ourselves? So, if we're going to cultivate an atmosphere, if we're going to create an atmosphere where people can hear from God, where God can be at work through the various ministries we have, we're going to need some things in us. Number one is unity. God moves through unity. Anointing moves through unity. Right? So there's people, they can't put aside their personality conflicts. Right? They can't put aside their ego or their pride or their ambitions, and they have issues or conflict in their band or with other bands or with other ministries. And you know what? That brings discord. That disrupts unity. So we need something in us that says, I'm going to connect myself. I'm going to help cultivate an atmosphere of unity. The second thing we need is to live holy lives. Holy means set apart, separated from. So holiness, this makes us vessels of honor, as Paul writes. Vessels that are clean, vessels that can carry the Spirit of God, the message of God, without contaminating it. Right? Pastor Mitchell said, for years you will minister what you are. What is in you will come out in your ministry. So holiness, or living clean and pure lives, that's not to get anointing. Right? Some people have that idea. If I'm going to be anointed, I have to live right so God will bless me, or right? But that's works-based. That's a works-based approach. Holiness living protects anointing. It protects it. What God deposits, you're able to retain it and see more through holiness living. It protects that anointing, that divine effectiveness. Then holiness living helps with, there's a connection with supernatural drawing. A supernatural holding, retainment of visitors. It's what God moves through in our lives to bring conviction of the Holy Ghost, which is going to lead to what we're, our whole focus, evangelism, salvation, and conversion. Let's read Psalms 133, verses 1 and 2.
Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garment.
Okay, so here it's speaking of unity, and the unity is like, this is a picture of the anointing oil being poured over Aaron, the priesthood, right? The anointing coming upon a man of God that's going to be used by God. And so that's a picture. It's like unity is like that. Unity allows a Holy Spirit dimension, an anointing to flow. And this is something we need at work in us. So this is the heart of ministry. This thing, secondly, about ministry opportunity and prayer targets. So again, all ministry, right, it needs people. We need there to be involvement from the congregation. And there's things that need to be at work. So number one, the people, our people in our concerts, we need to have vision. Vision. We have to be able to see how important every ministry is. Right? Pastor Greg recently talked about the meeting place, and he's talking about church. That translates into the concert ministry and that idea of vision. Right? Our vision, the things we do, right? Our function, but the reasons why we do it, our purpose, right? All of this connected together gives vision to the congregation, to those involved. We need to have a vision, right? Ideas on how we can draw sinners in and see them saved. How every person has a part in the night, right? Whether you're serving refreshments or in drama or seating people or all these different factors, you have a part in it. So people need to recognize that. Then there's secondly, there has to be from the congregation commitment. Right? Committed to our ministries. That's going to involve time. Right? People that do things at the last minute, it shows. It shows. But people that take the time, that work things through, that figure it out, that put in the event, it shows. And so this is the commitment to excellence and an effort to make our concerts as effective as possible. Right? As effective as possible, as effective as we can make it. Then there's the issue of expectancy. Our church needs to have an expectation. You know, very encouraging last night, a prophecy given. And immediately, what happens in those moments? Expectation. Right? But, and thank God, that's why he gives those gifts. That's what the Bible says, to encourage, the manifest gifts, what makes God seen. Okay, God's involved in this, and that's a good reminder, but that can be something you cultivate every week for in your prayer life. God, an expectation. Various times in the week, I'm praying for 180. I'm praying for people that are involved. I'm praying for things to unlock, for etc. That's expectation. Then there has to be from the congregation a desire to bring visitors. Okay, this kind of is hand in hand with the commitment factor. If you're not committed and people see sloppy concerts, do you think they're going to want to bring their family and friends? But when we're committed and we're doing our part and there's an excellence and there's a flow and people say, people got to see this. I got to bring people. There's this desire that's cultivated and they get a vision for that. Then, of course, we need people who will pray for the concerts. Right, there's some people, a band is not for them. They don't have rhythm. Drama's not for them. They're too stiff and they can't act. Right? There's just different things. Maybe there's just not a place they feel like they can fit or they recognize. But people can all pray, right? You know, we would have people involved in our concerts in the church that I pastored that it was just their faithfulness to it. Their faithfulness to support it by being present. Their faithfulness to support it by giving. And their faithfulness to support it in prayer. Right? But that's all vision. Every person can have a part in this in some way. Then finally, we need people who will outreach for it. Right? To be able to, and that connects back to the desire to bring visitors, but also to go out, right? Invite people out for the concert. So this is the vision for the congregation as a whole. But now let's get down into some very practicals, the ministry opportunities. And second thing we need not only is people, but then we need, if we're going to do a concert, you need bands, right? So music is the major focus of our concert outreach. It's what takes up majority of our night. So this is a major part of it. So we need band members. You're involved in a band to walk, live your life with in personal holiness. Right? That you're going to make a decision. I want to do this well. I want to be effective. So I'm going to make a decision for personal holiness. We need band members that are filled with the Holy Ghost. Right? Being filled with the Holy Ghost isn't just about speaking in tongues. It's what makes us anointed. It's that divine effectiveness. We need bands that have inspiration. This is something we can pray for. Right? So, number one, we need band members that will do that, but this is what we can pray for. Lift up your bands. Lift up the bands that are in our congregation. Lift them up by name. We need bands to have inspiration. We can pray for our bands that they would create music that connects. Right? Our bands aren't about what we want. It's about what connects with the listener. What connects with the sinner. Words that convey a message effectively. We need anointing. Again, more than just talent. Okay, there's a balance here. A spirit of excellence is I'm going to work as hard as I can. Anointing is I'm going to pray like it all depends on God. Right, there's that balance. We need bands that have anointing to hold visitors. Right? I have reference points, and I'm telling you, I've sat on the other side listening to Pastor Greg talk about in his band how people would be drawn and how people would get saved because when you said these words, because when that song played and God got a hold of me, I was like, I want that. That's what I'm interested in. And man, we would contend, and I challenge my band, we need to draw visitors. We need to pray God gives us music. And man, we could set up in a parking lot. No one's around. We start making noise and the people would just, they would draw. It was supernatural. It was, I listened back on it, and you know, in your head, you remember it one way, mm-hmm. but then you listen back on it, it's like, these were really long songs, very melodic, kind of the same, right? It's like, this was God. It was an anointing. Obviously, it connected with people. We had people pray. Numbers of testimonies of people praying mid-altar call song because God got a hold of them. Why not? Right? That's something we can connect to. We had people talk to us, different concerts, different times. That verse in that song, that chorus, that was me, or that was for me. It connected. So this is what we need, is bands with an anointing. Bands need the ability to minister well. Song choice is important, right? There's been times where we've had songs mapped out in our meetings before, you know, and maybe God's doing something that's like, let's switch it, let's do a different, let's do this song. The songs, the night's moving in this thread, the night's flowing in this way, so let's switch it up. You have to have the ability to speak between songs and keep the crowd. All right, how many, we know technical difficulties happen. That's not always avoidable. Things happen, whatever the case. So, can you be quick and keep your crowd? Right, think quick, do a testimony. Think quick and do, right, something that will keep your crowd. So bands, this is what we need. And these are ways we can pray for our bands. Secondly, is our drama teams. Dramas cause truth to be visible. That's the basic idea. If we were to sum up drama in one sentence, it causes truth to be visible. Drama is not about random inside jokes. Right? Visitors come in and you have a drama filled with inside jokes. That's just not going to connect with your crowd. Drama needs inspiration. This is the way we can pray for our drama teams. Pray for new ideas. Pray for a variety of drama approaches. Right? Pray that they can connect through humor. Humor is a great way to connect with people. Right? But that it would not just be inclusive, but available for everyone. Serious dramas, right? To be able to have anointing and conviction in it. And serious dramas don't always have to be serious settings. Right? So they say, let's do a serious drama at a funeral. It's like, oh, yeah, you could do that, but it doesn't have to be a serious setting. You can find ways to create truth to be visible through various serious topics. Serious approaches. Our drama teams need skill, right? People who can act. It's very helpful. People who can get the message across. This is a way we can pray for them, for our drama teams. Pray for anointing to be effective. Pray for anointing to convey a message so that God can bring revelation. Then we have our testimonies. Our testimonies are the application of the gospel to a life. Right, when the gospel enters someone's life, what are the results? What did it produce? So people have to be able to connect with visitors when they tell their story. Whoever's testifying needs wisdom with their words. So this could be certain details are left unsaid, right? Better left unsaid. That's helpful, right? Christianese in your testimony. I'm telling you, I've never met a cold sinner that knew what a church kid was. I was a church kid, right? Or I grew up knowing right from wrong. Find a way to say it that can really connect it with people, that can really drive home what you're wanting to communicate. Then our testimonies need anointing, right? That whoever's speaking, that God would get involved in their words. That their words would bear weight and get through into the heart of the listener. We need anointing in those testimonies that brings convictions, right? That when people hear, it's like, that, I'm like that. That's why I did those things. And they can hear how to change. We need anointing in our testimonies that brings hope. Right? Hope that if they changed, maybe I can too. That's the beauty of our testimonies, is it can be the language of the streets. Right? Where people live. And we can connect with them in that. You know, this whole testimony thing that I did last night, it's just an effort to try to make a testimony more connecting to the listener. Right? I'm just trying to think of ways, right? And there's so many people that they have a powerful testimony and you just put it over music, right? Music, there's a thing with music. There's a degree, and if it can be executed well, right, it can really connect with people. Then there's our video ministry. Our video ministry needs new ideas. We can pray for that, an inspiration. Videos that can present the gospel in a variety of ways. Right? We need people that would get involved that have a skill in putting videos together. Right? I remember early coming here into Prescott, Pastor Greg had me, I mean, I went through days of Christian videos. And majority of Christian videos are filled either with Christianese, they appeal only to Christians, they're going to understand them, or they're all about how much of a failure the church is right now, you know. Where are the hands, and where are the feet, and where is the voice? And then, you know, and it's like 10 more things wrong with you and your church, right? And these are supposed to be evangelistic in some way. So we need people who can be dedicated to putting videos together, or people that are dedicated to find new material. You know, this video could work, right? And people who would dedicate themselves to that. But then, of course, we need to pray that our videos have an anointing, that a message comes across and penetrates the hearts of the listener. Then we have our sound techs. Sound is crucial, right? Very practical, very basic. But how can people hear the message if they can't hear the message? Right? Sound isn't turn it on and make sure it's that. No, you've got sound is a skill, actually. Sound is something to be learned and developed. There's never a time in sound that in the night your hands are off that board. There's never a time in sound in the night where you're not attentive to whatever's happening on that stage. Right? It shouldn't be, oh, I heard feedback once everyone's ears are bleeding. Right? You've got to be attentive and hearing it beforehand. Right? If you see the lead guitarist shredding and face melting, but you're not hearing that, there's a problem, right? If you see them, they're singing and their vocals are muddy. Do you know how to fix that? Do you know how to clean that up? Do you know how to bring that out? So I'm telling you, it's a skill, something to be learned and developed. And sound absolutely must be treated as a ministry. You're serving bands, you're serving the drama team, you're serving the supporting faithful crowd, you're serving the sinner by giving them sound that can be understood and come with clarity. And so this is something absolutely to work at. There's a lot of practical application in sound. And it's one of those things that if you'll dedicate yourself to understanding even just some basics, you don't need to know it all, but basics understandings about frequencies, basic understandings about how to clean up a voice, when you listen to a voice and where their tones are naturally, how do you get that to come across in the sound through the system, etc. So sound text, this is something to commit to, and it's something to pray for. God, give me inspiration, give me understanding, give me insight to problem solve in a second, right? Can you identify what the problem is in a second? That sounds critical. Then there's service ministries, the behind the scenes ministries, where people are involved. This could be nursery, this could be our refreshments, this could be our cleaning crews, etc. So we need people that are willing to serve in these areas, right? People that are seeing the need to be in their place and understand their overall mission, that this is a valuable ministry, right? That our nursery workers are have a heart for it, right? Not just babysitting and watching kids, but a heart for it. Our refreshment area, right, is getting people that are friendly, that are inviting, that are warm and welcoming. And our cleaning people, that, right, again, you're cleaning so that people can come into a clean facility, right, where they're going to be able to hear from God. Then there's our concert preachers. The entire night crashes unless we have people who can drive the point home and bring sinners to a decision. I've been at some incredible 180 concerts. You know, maybe we took a band or I took a team, and it's happening, man. And the altar call preacher comes out. The stage has been set. Right? The anointing, the last song, there's anointing, there's conviction. All he's got to do is pull a basic altar call and starts it with, "Let's give it up one more time for the band." He's like, "No, we've been giving it up for them all night. We're done. They don't need any more giving up." Right? This is the moment for sinners. Right? We need our concert preachers to have inspiration for messages and illustrations, right? We need our preachers to have a sensitivity to what God is doing that night. We need our preachers to have anointing, that their words wouldn't just fall to the ground, but that their words would penetrate into the heart of the listener as that carnal reasoning is happening in their minds, right? That they wouldn't find a distraction when they're under the conviction of sin, that they would hear the hope for change, that they would respond to the message. We need to pray for our altar call preachers. We need to pray that there is an anointing on their lives. And of course, the altar call preachers, you are dedicating yourself to this. Not just an opportunity, you know, for you to hold the mic. This is pioneering, pastoring in a microcosm. You're contending for things. You're breaking through things, etc. So let's close. Let's think about the results. So we have to keep the end results in mind. Everything else, right, that we're doing, it's all about getting to this end point, which is, number one, conversions. We do concerts so that people will get saved, right? I had a conversation recently with a problem guy, but I said, why do you even come here? Oh, well, because it's Christian and it's good entertainment. No, that's actually not why we're here. That's not why we're here. We're not here for more fellowship. We're not here for Christian entertainment. We're here for conversions. That's the whole point. We want sinners saved. We want people locked into the church. We want them to become fruitful. We want them to be involved in ministry. Right? That's the whole point. To see someone get saved and then get involved in the concert. Man, that's really an exciting thing. Then the results. So first is conversions. The second is involvement. Right? We want people to be involved in the concert ministry because that gives them purpose. That gives them connection to what God is doing. Not only that, we want our youth to be involved. Right? We've got to facilitate where our youth are inspired to get involved in this, to be part of it. Our church kids, right? Our children that are in there every week, that they would aspire to involvement, that they would give themselves to ministry. But that happens in an atmosphere where things are happening. Then there's the development of disciples, ultimately. We want disciples to learn skills in the concert ministry. They're going to help them grow. Right? The result is that they move from concert ministry into pastoral ministry. Right? So it's concert ministry, guys. I'm telling you, I can say this absolutely from experience, is it framed a huge portion of my discipleship. Being involved in 180, being involved in the underground, it framed a huge portion. There's lessons and skills that came out of the concert ministry that formed who I am today. There were serious men's like this that Pastor Greg would do that wasn't just like, oh yeah, yeah, and rah, rah, yeah. No, I applied it and it changed my ministry, changed my life, changed my effectiveness. And so these are the results we're talking about. This is what we're after. Okay, let's open it up for questions. Is it?
Do you think that we're missing something if we're not being involved, like you're saying, in the 180? What I've observed is, like, it's more attractive to, like, I want to be in the band and be on the stage and play and sing whatever if I have talent. But it seems like the same people who, like, who's done lights forever. You know, the refresher for a long time was Nora. It was just the same person, and it was like that was their ministry.
Yeah.
But should we be, like, looking for stuff like that, like all of us? Like, why aren't there more people in the mics? Why aren't there more people in the sound or the refreshments? Should we be looking for stuff like that? Or?
No, not necessarily, you know. No, I don't think so. But when things are happening, people are inspired to get involved, right? So when... You know, for example, the revamp of the 180 Cafe. That was a good revamp. It draws a lot of attention to it, right? It's very nice, very... And you know, people... Just last night, I was listening, and a couple people asked Brianna to get involved, and then another young teen was like, hey, can I help tonight after all? And he's, oh, absolutely, come in. And so there's people... That's something that it's attractive. The way they're running it is attractive. People are appealed and drawn to it. They want to get involved, right? Bands or music or, you know, sound, lights, etc. When you're open and it's happening, things are happening, people want to be involved in that, right? So, yep.
So when we're at, so you're saying when there's that excellence.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah.
And when it's effective.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep. And then people also want to be involved. Again, this is going to look a lot of different ways. People will bring people. Maybe they're not involved in a ministry, but they want to bring people because they're seeing an atmosphere of excellence, right? Etc. So.
You talked some about how to avoid difficult personalities and work around people, but how do you encourage, you spoke first about unity, how do you encourage unity in a place, especially like maybe when we have very, very different personalities, different ages?
Yeah.
You know, what age can be diverse as far as demographic goes?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's constantly rehearsing the vision, the point, right? So, you know, that little, our little moment of our quote-unquote talk just before we open in prayer, you know, every door director kind of gives a little layout of what's happening that night. You know, that's a good opportunity to express gratitude. That's a good opportunity to cast vision. You know, we've been seeing when you give reports of what's been happening, that encourages people, and just rehearsing it, you know, unity. Let's pray for each other. Let's lift up the bands tonight, and let's, contend for a Holy Ghost dimension. So you're rehearsing it, and that's a good way to communicate it, because, you know, you might not feel like it, but people are listening, you know, and, every pastor feels that way, but it's getting into people. And as you rehearse it and you continually bring the attention back, the focus back, right, that really helps people to say, you know what, yeah, I want to be that. I want to help be part of that, or I want to help contribute to unity or fruitfulness or whatever the case might be. David?
You mentioned how holiness protects the anointing that you have.
Yeah.
Assuming that you're doing what's right, not super carnal or all the sin or anything, how do you increase the anointing that you have?
That's a God thing. That's a God factor. He gives it, you know. So, I don't have any practical steps other than, you know, faithfulness, right? You have people that they're anointed in a season but then become unfaithful in some way, right? So that's going to disrupt that. Steadfastness, right? People that are in and out of ministry all the time, they're not going to get, right, a building up, right? They're always going to be at the same level. So steadfastness, staying consistent, etc. And so, again, all of those are not to make it a formula or a workspace, but, you know, is those help protect it. And anointing is a God thing. That's a God factor. He gives it, and that's up to Him. Good. Any other questions? Comments? Very good. So let's, you know, I want to just encourage you, really contend. We've been seeing some very good things, in our 180s. We've been seeing God really move. And just want to encourage you to help me pray. We've been trying to find property in Prescott Valley to move our 180 to Prescott Valley. So, we need God, though. There's been a lot of barriers. Pastor Cassio and myself have dedicated tons of time to trying to see this through. We have a very good potential, but already I'm hitting more roadblocks. So I just want to ask you to help me pray. I absolutely believe God wants us in Prescott Valley. I absolutely, after our last summer outreaches that Zach organized in Prescott Valley, I don't know, but it was a very, very fruitful summer, even compared to a lot of the summers we had when I was a disciple that I can remember, and just a constant flow of people. I really believe God wants to open that door there, and I think we need to contend for it, fight it through, and let's believe God for it. But in the meantime, right, we need to also keep our hearts in the fight and not give in to the narratives, okay? Numbers of you guys, all there's guys that have pastored here, you ask them, wherever they went to pastor, how many times they heard, it's really hard here. It doesn't work here, whether they were on the West Coast in California or the Northwest, whether they were in the Midwest, whether they were in the Southwest, whether they're in the Northeast or the Southeast, it didn't matter where you were from, it's hard everywhere, apparently. So the narratives are, oh, well, we're downtown, it's touristy, it's late, it's dark up there, it's all these different things. Those are narratives that dismiss why God just can't move here. And that's not true. And we've broken through. We're seeing a momentum, and we need to continue to contend that when visitors come in the door, whatever's happening, if it's a drama, a testimony, a song, they would be supernaturally drawn to stay. They would not get up. They don't know why. They just stayed till the preaching. Let's pray that way. God will do that. Amen. Why don't we just close together in prayer, contending for our concert ministry, our bands, every part of this morning. Father God, I pray right now, Lord, that this is going to cultivate discipleship. Father God, I pray for an outpouring of fruitfulness in our concert. God, I pray that we're going to have men of excellence dedicated to this ministry, Lord God, contending for fruitfulness, contending for visitors, Father God. I pray a continued momentum, a continued breakthrough. Let there be a supernatural grace, Father God, rest upon it. In Jesus' mighty name, we glorify you, we praise you. I contend for fruitfulness. I contend for converts, Father God. I contend for a quickening of the Holy Ghost, inspiration in Jesus' name. We thank you.
Forgive and save you this morning, my beloved men, as you have come together and listened. There is a supernatural anointing that I provide. In this arena, I have chosen to impart myself through teaching, yes, and preaching. But most importantly, my desire is the souls of men and women. And as you come together, know this, that this method, that this way of winning the lost is something I have given to this fellowship.
Yes.
And I am using it powerfully. And as you give yourselves, yes, to unity, there is something that I do when I see the hearts of men linked together. When I see the hearts of people linked together, there's something that I choose to do. And that is through that unity, I join myself, which is anointing.
Yes.
And I come down in power. And I assure you that what I'm doing in your midst is not happening everywhere. It is supernatural. And I call you to remember this word. For this is a time in the earth that I am doing something in the hearts of individuals. And as you persevere, and as you believe, I will speak to the hearts of men and women, children, teenagers. I will call them to repentance. For this is a time of drawing people into my kingdom. Use this tool that I have given. And as you do, you will see a great harvest. For this is my will, thus saith the Lord thy God.
Yes, amen. Father God, we thank you for your faithfulness sealed in our hearts this morning, Father God. We worship you. Amen. Let's continue to contend and believe God for good things.